Blog Talk Radio.
It is Tuesday, October 9th, and how are you doing? How do you feel? We're 2-3. The Philadelphia Eagles, the Super Bowl champs, are struggling. And I know a lot of us are not handling it very well. We typically don't anyway. You know, Eagles fans, when we lose, we don't get right until Wednesday. Tomorrow's Wednesday. So maybe we're starting to feel a little bit better and come out of that loss. But we lost, and we lost ugly. Very tough game. There's a lot to say. We're going to say a lot of it tonight. Some of it's not going to be very popular. Some of it might be wrong. Some of it might be deadly accurate. You be the judge. I'll tell you what, let's get the important stuff out of the way. I'm going to make a couple points tonight, but I want to hear what you got to say about the Eagles. What went wrong, or what do we need to do to fix it? Either one. You can take either side of that coin. Call in 657-383-1614. I'll repeat, 657-383-1614. I want to let you know how I'm doing. I'm doing fine, because I don't carry this stuff around. I shrug it off an hour or two after the game, because you know what? I've learned a long time ago that it's just entertainment. It's only a game. The sun will still come up the next morning, and it always does. But I never give up. I get disgusted with my coaches or my players. I don't want to see those people out there doing what they typically do to mess things up, but I do not give up on the team. I do not walk away from the club. So we're 2-3. Do not give up on this team anyway. That's why we're diehards, because we stay to the last bullet is fired. That's why. Also, there's a lot of season left. We're 2-3. We very easily could be 0-5. But guess what? It may matter. We haven't played any division games yet. They're the ones that count. Typically, every coach wants to say you got to win at home. It's hard to win on the road. Whine, whine, cry, sob. Hard to win on the road. Well, guess what? You have to win on the road. Rock up. Let's go. Get it done. If not, step aside. Get somebody in there that can win on the road. And what you really have to do, though, is you really have to beat your division opponents. So if we take the games, if we sweep all of our three division opponents, both games, we end up with 6 wins. And that is a pretty good place to start, because that is a huge tiebreaker come playoff time. And we know that very often there's a lot of seasons where the playoffs are decided in the last week, and that may be the case this year. I mean, look at our division. It's a mess. It's there to be taken. Somebody has to step up and grab it. Right now, it's a fight for last. Come on. Eagles can do this. Yeah, maybe. Well, can they or can't they? That's what we're trying to find out. 5 weeks, we still don't know who we are. We still don't know the team we have. We found out we lost another guy this week, number 26. He's out for the season. We lost McLeod last week, the previous week. And the injury bug just keeps coming around. I told you guys early on, this game is decided by injury, heat, and refs. The flags. And we had 2 out of 3 this past Sunday, didn't we? We sure did. Let's take a look at this team. Finally, at long last, Doug agrees with a statement I made shortly after training camp. This is a different Eagles team. Last year, we traded away guys that I wasn't comfortable getting rid of, the guys that we got rid of. Blount, Patrick Robinson, few other guys in there, right? Especially Jim Reich. But we lost him. We couldn't keep him. That's life. You adjust. But you know what? You know what? It's a different team. Now, we're going to get into some of Doug's play calling because maybe Doug is calling the plays from last year's team that may not be working with this year's team. That's a possibility. Has anybody mentioned that? I don't think so. Something to think about, though. But it is a different team. And Doug says that we're killing ourselves. Doug says, hey, man, we're making mistakes. We've got penalties and we've got problems. And he's right. And you know what that boils down to? Players are not executing. The players are losing focus. They're not concentrating on what they have to do. Finishing their blocks, we sure can tackle. Has anybody mentioned that? Gee, coach, when are you going to start coaching the guys up on tackling? That would be an embarrassing question to ask Doug Peterson or Jim Schwartz. But it sure looks to me like that's something we might want to start thinking about doing. I'm a little bit rougher on these guys than probably the rest of the media. I don't walk on eggshells around these guys. To me, football players are nobody to really, really get excited about. They're just big kids. Most of the time, they're about as smart as big kids, too. The coaches deserve respect for the responsibility and the pressures that they have, but they're compensated very handsomely for that pressure, for those problems. And they can live out the rest of their lives with 1 4-year contract. Let's not forget that. Depends on the lifestyle you want to have. If you're low key and you live in a trailer like I do, where you're stealing your neighbor's electricity and water, well, you know, you don't have a lot of overhead, so you could get by with a whole lot less, right? But the reality is the coaches are paid to shoulder a lot, but they're not going to blame their players. But the players aren't executing in Philadelphia. Why? Maybe they're not good enough. They don't have the talent. Maybe they're being out-coached. Not the players, but maybe our coaches are being out-coached. Sure looks to me like Jim Schwartz is being out-coached on a few plays out there. Sure looks to me like Doug Peterson is also being out-coached on a few plays out there. What's my proof? Well, everything's going to Zach Ertz. Zach Ertz was 10 for 11. He had 11 targets. He caught 10 passes. And he had some great figures. And he's on his way to having a fantastic year. That's proof to me that we need a better playbook. We need to start calling better plays. We need to spread that ball around. Because we have some pretty good guys. What about 17? What about 13? What about 80? We got Matthews back. I sure hope that there's rumors out there that are floating about Howie Roseman's going to come and do his thing and he's going to bring in some more players or a new player. They just restructured Fletcher Cox's contract to open up a little bit more cap room so that the Eagles could, in fact, probably have some bucks to work with to get a player. Is that the answer? To me, that's an admission that we don't have the talent. That's an admission that people screwed up 2, 3, 4 years ago, because that's when these guys should start coming in off the bench and making contributions. But let's look at this for a minute. Let's freeze the frame right here, folks. To me, we have 4 areas of needs on this team right now. Everybody's talking about, oh, defensive backs. Well, you win with the lines. It starts there. You win the game with the lines. Your offensive line, your defensive line. Our offensive line is banged up, as you know, and we also traded away 2 guys. We traded away Vinnie Curry and Bo Allen, or we didn't renew their contracts. Whatever way you want to say it, they're not here. They're gone. Peters is in and out. And we're rotating left tackle between Wisniewski, Chance Womack, and then we got that guy, Samoa. I'm sorry, I'm botching your name, pal, but it's not on purpose. See, used to get the Eagles yearbooks every year and inhale them. Ever since they went private and sell them with only one vendor charging top dollar off of some website, I have been reluctant to do that, to buy them from one person. I like buying them from the Eagles store. Anyway, offensive line is a little bit banged up. Let's talk about defensive line, which is our second big concern. No Curry, as I said. No Bo Allen, as I said. Curry was an every-down player. Bo Allen was a situational player. But we also lost Timmy Jernigan. Remember him? His name doesn't come up too often anymore, but he's still out. The big hit is that we went down on Derek Barnett. Last week, I made a statement and I said I think that Fletcher Cox and Derek Barnett could be the next and Jerome Brown. I said they could be. I didn't say they would be, and I didn't say they are. I said they could be. Barnett's got a motor. Fletcher Cox has a motor. I think if these two guys start getting off the ball at the same time, they're on opposite sides of the center. I mean, those two guys alone can really bust up a line, and they have been. But now Barnett is out. So who's filling in for him on the defensive line? I'll bet you don't know, because I don't know. I'm supposed to know, but I don't. Wide receiver. Is 17 still hurt? Is 80? Matthews? Jordan Matthews? Is he still hurt? Let me ask you a question. Is number 11 still hurt? Carson Wentz is out there, and he's making plays. He's trying to extend plays with his legs and run the ball downfield, and he's trying to pick up yards on certain plays, especially where there's, the coverage is very tight and he can't get the ball out. He tries to force it in there sometimes, and if he can, he runs. He takes off. Not good, not smart, not cool, but it's what he's got to do, I think, but it's very dangerous because if he goes down, where's the next Carson Wentz going to come from? Who is the next Carson Wentz? None of us knew about Carson Wentz until we probably got him. And then we were able to read a little bio on the guy. So let's go back to our needs. Offensive line, defensive line. Now we're back to the defensive backs and secondary. Like we lost McLeod last week. Corey Graham, I think is his name, number 24, was toasted 2 weeks ago against the Titans. And if he needs help, if they need to rotate guys to his side, which I thought I saw happen with Jenkins was crossing the field and coming over to help him out a little bit and also to help out Jalen Mills, then okay, that's fine. But we still need a defensive back. The Eagles are professing faith in Jalen Mills, who was ripped 2-3 weeks ago. But stop and think about it. Who else are you going to get? Who's out there? How do you fix that? Is the problem Jalen Mills, or is the problem that you're being outplayed? Not Jalen Mills being outplayed. They put together a better plan to Tennessee 2 weeks ago. This past weekend, Tennessee lost to Buffalo and didn't even score a single point. Come on. You got to tell me that the Titans went from great to not so great in the course of 6 days. Well, that's probably true, but every team, again, is coming out and playing their best, but they're playing against our twos and sometimes our threes. Are the guys that are filling in for the injured players, are they repping with the first team? Are they going out there and getting a week's worth of practice with these guys? Or are they just getting the classroom stuff? What are they doing? Are they just doing the walkthrough, the playbook, and in the classroom, or are they in pads getting hit? So defensive back, Jalen Mills, if you see him as a liability, I don't. The guy's aggressive, and he makes plays, and he makes mistakes. That happens. Nobody's perfect out there, and you're up against some pretty good talent. What I like about Jalen Mills is that you cannot coach height. He's 6'2". Is that a good reason to keep him? To start. Last one, running back. Gee, we lost 26. We also lost Clement, number 30. We also lost Sproles, 43. I regretted losing LeGarrette Blount. I thought he was a perfect fit for our team, and we let him go. And where'd he go? He went right to Matt Patricia, his former offensive coordinator in New England, who is now in Cleveland, I think. Am I right? So, LeGarrette Blount, best of luck to you, bud. We hardly knew you, but, man, I sure wish you were back. So, between offensive line, defensive line, the secondary, and running back, which is first in area of need? What do we get first? What hole do we plug? We only got a little bit of money now because we were able to restructure Fletcher Cox's contract, and we could take some dollars and we could get somebody. But what do we get? Do we get a solid offensive lineman? Is he out there? You know, they're pretty much like gold. Do we get a maybe a defensive lineman that's on his last legs? I think we got one of them with Nagata. Is that his name? Don't seem to see much of him around anymore. At least I haven't. Michael Bennett played some snaps on Sunday. I saw that. So, my point is, are there any decent or young defensive linemen that could come in and contribute immediately? I don't think so. Do we try to get a second, a secondary guy, another replacement for some of our injured guys? I mean, McLeod's out. We don't even know if he's going to come back. His leg's all ripped up, too. I think he's got an ACL or an MCL. Ajayi, ACL. Ajayi, however. So, what do we go for here? We can only spend the money once. Right? So, let's roll back to that statement. This is not last year's team. These are different Eagles. And I think Doug has never coached with this kind of adversity. The players want to know what's wrong and why things aren't working right. And Doug is saying to players, even the players, as competitive as they are, and as some guys will give you 110% effort every single time, they're working. I mean, they're putting it out, and they're saying, we're beating ourselves. Well, yeah, but maybe you're not. But one of the 11 on your squad is. So, or maybe two or three. So let me ask you this. Is it because we don't have the talent? Is it because we don't have the right play and we're being outcoached? And lastly, could it be Super Bowl hangover? Let's stop and think about that. You know, you get a nice fat check when you win the Super Bowl. Oh, of course, you all knew that because all of us have won last year's Super Bowl. So we all got a fat check, right? Now, what we got was about 3 weeks of glow where we were just chest beaters and knuckle draggers, and we were saying, yo, Eagles, and we went out and bought all this great merchandise, and now it doesn't look so good. And I say, hold on to that merchandise. Don't throw that away yet. I say that every time New England won the Super Bowl, they had a bad following year. In other words, when they won the Super Bowl the next season, they didn't come back and win. In fact, in a lot of cases, they didn't make the playoffs. So I believe that there really is something to the Super Bowl hangover. I think the players celebrate. They believe in their own press clippings. They think they don't have to listen to the coach as much. They don't have to work as hard. They don't have to pay as much attention. You get that way when you're good. And when you're the best, nobody can tell you what to do. So I think Doug has got a little bit of coaching challenge on his hands for guys that aren't listening or responding. It was a big thing when Andy Reid, I think his players just tuned him out. Anyway, it's all of those. So I think Doug needs to go back to the drawing board. I think he needs to remotivate his players, but if they're real pros, being 2-3 is embarrassing to these guys, especially the ones that do have a ring and are still there. And they're looking like chumps. I don't care what you drive, man. I don't care what you got on your back, and I don't care what kind of bling you got around, all around you. Put it away, because it means nothing right now. Don't mean nothing. You're not doing it. You're not the guy you used to be. You can't get it done. You're not getting it done because you can't get it done. You're not working. So I say shut your mouth, put your head down, keep your mouth shut, work, think, focus, practice, memorize, do what you got to do to get your game back up by 10%, 15%, 20%, whatever it takes. I mean, we're more than a third of the, we're coming up on about a third of the way through the season. That's a lot of time to lose just trying to figure out where your head's at. Come on, man. Let's go. Buckle up your pants. Put on your big boy pants. Buckle them up tight and get out there. But that's me. You know, I'm more like Arlie Ermey than, you know, poor baby. Can I thank you just for coming to work today? No. Uh-uh. Nope. You show up, you work, you keep your head down, your mouth shut. And it's like Paris Island. You get it done without excuses. Because excuses don't bring results. When you're looking for results, replay those excuses. So, we are 21 minutes into the show. And I apologize to you because there's some important information I haven't mentioned. Right about, well, a little while ago, I should have had an ad in there, but I was rolling. Tampa Delphia is, if you don't know Tampa Delphia, we're at the Crown Plaza on Kennedy and West Shore. Our focus is a good game. We have no dues, no cover, no fees, no anything. You just come in, you cheer. Wear your green and cheer. My Facebook page, Tampa Delphia Eagles, gets a tremendous amount of activity and a tremendous amount of requests. My email, paul@tampadelphia.com, gets a tremendous amount of requests. I feel like all I'm doing is just answering people. But really, it's a family type of a place with a family type of a focus. So bring your kids, bring your families, relax, enjoy, have something good to eat and drink. Because, you know, our whole theory is that you work hard all week. By the weekend, you just need to hide for a while. Shake it out of your system. Get something good to eat and drink and watch your game. And that's where I come in. I try to put together a good environment, a good menu, good price points, and also a good game day. Although I can't control the game. That's up to the refs. Anyway, we are at the Crown, and this Thursday, we will not have a radio show. We didn't have one last week, but that was because I graciously gave up my slot to another host who asked if he could advance his schedule because he was getting married. Oh man, don't you love romance? Here's a guy that's going to make it big move. He's going to commit the rest of his life away to the luckiest girl on earth. And I know she feels that way, and I know he feels that way about her. Of course I'm going to let them take my hour. Wouldn't you? Yeah, you would. You know why? Because we're Tampa Delphia diehards. So when it comes time to do something good for somebody like that, yeah. Plus, he's a Philly guy, amazingly. And he got married this weekend, so I let him have my slot on Thursday. This Thursday, though, here's the big announcement. Go to Tampa Delphia Eagles on Facebook, and you'll find out why if you don't know already. Channel 13. WTVT, Fox 13 here in Tampa, contacted me asking if they could come out and do some interviews and shoot some film for the lead into the game at the Crown Plaza. They expect that we'll have a decent sized crowd there, and they're probably going to be right. If you can get out to the Crown, get on TV. You might be the guy that's interviewed or the gal that's interviewed. Hey, they're going to be out there at about 6:45. Come by. Get a little something and enjoy, and you know, enjoy the media and the atmosphere of all that. And then if you want, you know, can split out at halftime if it's going to be a tough night for you. I know a lot of us can't keep those hours anymore because of the job. That's okay.
You don't have to do the full game. But come on out. Enjoy it. Television beckons. You could have a career in TV. So I just wanted to let you know, Thursday night at the Crown Plaza on Kennedy in West Shore, right in between the Walt Whitman Bridge. I'm sorry, where's my head at? Right in between the Howard Franklin Bridge and West Shore Mall on Kennedy is the Crown Plaza. And come on out. We're in Mojitos right off the lobby. And, you know, we've got capacity. We can fill the room. And I'll tell you what, the first game, we turned away some people. Not the first opening night, Thursday night game, but the first 1 o'clock game, we turned away a lot of people because the Crown didn't expect it, and the Crown thought that they were only going to get so many fans. When I was telling them, hey, give me the chairs. I'll get the people. You give me the seats. Well, they didn't listen. So some people left, and I apologize to you for that. We got all the chairs you want now. And we're going into the ballrooms, too. So believe me, we have backup plans. I'm not going to let the Crown dictate what we as a club can be in terms of size or in terms of anything else that's important to us. You know, we're Eagles fans. We want to be together. So if need be, that's a problem that I will solve. And I think I've got it, and the Crown is more than happy to cooperate. So come by, give us another chance on that. And but this Thursday, TV is there, and they will be filming. So please come by again if you haven't. All right, I've wasted enough time on that. I think that is over. But I invite you all to come by for every Eagles game at the Crown Plaza on Kennedy to hang out with Tampa Delphi and become part of us. All right, so where were we? We're coming up almost – we're almost halfway done. Do you believe it? And so far, nobody's called. Are you guys just disgusted? Dude, come on. You got to have something to say about the birds. 657-383-1614. Let me know what you're mad about. What do you think? I'm not mad. I'm curious. I want to see what Doug's going to do. Doug is refusing to blame his players. Doug has not come out and said the players aren't executing, the players aren't doing this, so-and-so is dropping the ball, so-and-so is not covering, and that's okay. Doug says there's enough blame to go around, and I agree with him. I think that's right. But don't tell me that the 10 other guys out there are part of the problem, because I'm not buying that either. So you give me this spread it around nonsense, Coach Peterson. And what I'll do is I'll say your players are not executing, but that's as far as I'll go, because they aren't. And it's about time for you to solve a problem, which you can't do till you acknowledge the problem and face reality. Reality is the players aren't executing. So I want to see what Doug is going to do different this week. It's a short week. His back's against the wall, man. Doug has, I mean, they can't do any field practice this week because they're traveling on Wednesday, which is tomorrow. Basically, they had some film review and then they had some classroom with, you know, to ramp up the plays that they think the Giants are going to throw at them. Wednesday, they're traveling. Maybe they'll get into practice, maybe not, but Thursday night's the game. So this is going to be an interesting week. Now, the Giants are not exactly pushovers. The Giants are 1-4, but their record's a little bit worse than what they really are. So let's go in with our eyes wide open and realize that we could lose this game too. And if we do, then do you panic? Because I won't. That'll be six games in. And that is a long part of the season to still wrestle with your problems. But I'm so amazed between Howie Roseman and Joe Douglas and Doug Peterson that those three brilliant men never saw this situation coming where we didn't have enough players or enough talent. I mean, you can't see guys getting hurt and popping knees, right? Yeah, I mean, we've got, what, four of them that went down? But still. Still. That's 10% of your roster. Yeah. When you put it in those terms, 10% of your talent is gone. Your starting talent. Now that's bigger. because that brings it down to 22 guys. So who's out there to help us? Who do we get? Well, there's rumors. A safety out of Chicago, a guy named Bell. I dismiss it. Acknowledge those. I don't get involved in those. First of all, I don't know the player. Second of all, I don't care. Third of all, 9 times out of 10, it doesn't happen. And last, I don't care about a guy until he gets his wings and becomes an Eagle. But how? Why should I get excited about something that hasn't happened yet? And it's just, you know, you're getting all wound up around the axle. Don't do that to yourself. For you fantasy football players out there, maybe you guys got a good reason to dig deep into those levels of players, but I don't. I'm just an entertainment guy. I mean, to me, it's just supposed to be fun. I look at it and I see a team. I expect very little. I expect a bang for my entertainment buck, but that's as far as it goes. I don't expect them to be perennial winners year after year after year. I didn't expect them to repeat Super Bowl this year. A lot of smart people who have been around the game a long time said pretty tough to repeat. They're right. So adjust your expectation. And instead, pay attention to what Doug is going to do along with Howie. Obviously, they're juggling the money around because they want to bring somebody in. But I'll tell you what else has got to happen. While Howie Roseman and Joe Douglas are working on that, Doug has got a travel day tomorrow and a game Thursday night. One of the things he's been saying that I've been saying for a couple weeks now publicly here on air is that we're taking too long to score. I said we've played 2 games, and both games we didn't score till the second half. Then it was the 3rd week. Then it was the 4th week. Hey, no sense of urgency. Finally, Doug is using those words in that statement because the media guys have gone ahead and they're hitting him with it. Doug, do you have a sense of urgency? Well, Doug is using that phrase, yeah, a sense of urgency. We've looked back and we've realized that we had greater success when we scored first and we scored fast and we had a lead in the first quarter. Duh. How long have you been around this game, man? I mean, Doug, you've played it, right? At different levels, high school, college, pro. You've been around multiple coaches. You've seen how many, how many months or years of film have you looked at, man? And you got to know that very often he who scores first in the NFL wins 2/3 of the time. How about that statistic? You throwing that one out there? Come on, Doug, get off your duff and work on the game plan. Because, buddy, a lot of this is coming back to you. A lot of it's coming back to you. So this 3rd quarter start, let's start scoring in the 3rd quarter. Now, Doug said, yeah, well, we fumble at the 5-yard line and yeah, we do this great drive and we fumble at the 5. Well, you know, that's going to happen. That's football, right? And also, you know, you're looking at 2nd and 2, and then you're back after a couple of penalties and you got 21 yards to make a 1st down because of penalties and whatever else, you know, bad plays that you've called. Our guys can't seem to turn the corners. Smallwood, thank God for Smallwood. If we didn't have Smallwood, where would we be, right? So thank you, Smallwood, for putting your body out there on the line for us Eagles fans. But, Doug, how about putting your body out on the line and spending a little extra time in work, bub? How about sleeping in? How about a sense of urgency with the game plan? How about taking a look at mismatches? How about taking a look at the players you're not using right now? How about trying to get the ball out faster from Carson Wentz? Because Carson is holding the ball too long, and he's doing that because the coverages that he's facing are better than they were last year. But you know what? Carson Wentz didn't win the Super Bowl for us last year either. That wasn't Carson Wentz out there. Whoa, Paul, are you saying you got to bring in Foles? Uh-uh. Not saying that. I'm saying set your expectation for Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz got us to the brink, and Doug carried us across. you know, on his shoulders. And I mean, that was brilliant the way he played that and the way he did that. Who expected that? But he reared up and he stood tall and he got it done for us in the face of some very, very tough opponents. Carson didn't do that. The surprise, the element of surprise, is there something to that? Yeah, there is, for sure. And that's gone. We don't have that this year. Maybe that's a difference. So there's a lot of things we could say. I think it's coming down to Doug. I think that the buck stops here is one of the most brilliant phrases ever said. And Doug can't run and hide from this. We've lost some good coaches, and they're hard to replace. I grant you that. But, Doug, if you thought that the guys that you had on the roster in training camp were as good as the guys from last year's team, Doug, you should have opened up your mouth. You should have stood on Howie's desk and said, "Yo, man, we got to get better here and here." Doug, I think you need maybe what Doug is doing. Maybe Doug is overworked. Right? I'm saying Doug work harder, but maybe Doug's already overworked. He's got a brand new offensive coordinator in Mike Groh. He stepped up after Reich left. And maybe he wants to talk to Doug about what to do on offense and how to do it. Maybe Doug is giving him a lot of rope so that he can feel his way around, put together the players, maybe some plays, maybe call a few things here and there. Doug does call all the plays, but does Mike Groh have a voice in that? I want to say he does, because I think Doug's that type of guy. He's a first-class guy. He's a gentleman. I mean, there should be more people that aspire to be like Doug Peterson, simply from his demeanor, his smarts. Doug thinks before he talks. You have to respect that. I do. And you look up to a guy like that because you know he's coming from a position of intelligence. He's analyzed. He's broken things apart. What he's saying is going to be valuable in some form. So I think Doug needs to do a little bit better job of – he's not a micromanager. He's not telling these guys what to do. He tells them what he wants, and then he walks away. So he says – but I think he's probably holding hands a little bit with – his new OC and bringing him along. If that's the case, then okay, that's the case. But Doug, you still got to get us there to the end of the game as winners. So what do the Eagles do now? We're not going to get guys back very fast off the injured list. Did we quit? Never. Never, ever, never, ever, never. But the players aren't executing. And if they're not listening to Doug, you can't get new players. At least not yet. Do you let them lose enough games to the point of them being embarrassed? Maybe you just accept it and tank the season? I'm not saying you quit. You know, and you roll over every game. No, that would not be the right thing to do. But you accept the inevitable and say, okay. But the minute you do that, you lose your commitment and you slow down your speed. You ease off the intensity. And you're never going to get as far as you possibly can if you do that. So don't do that. So Doug has to lead from the front and show the example with his work. He's got to put together better game plans for mismatches, for players where he does have talent. He does have to get us into the end zone faster. We were killer last year for red zone offense. We led the league. This year, not so good. If you look at our position, among 32 teams for all the categories, I mean, we're not exactly sitting it on fire, but when you're 2-3, your stats aren't going to be that good anyway. So,
But the point is that Doug is, I think Doug is being outplayed and outcoached simply because other guys want to prove that they can beat this young guy that came in his second season and won a Super Bowl. Remember, Doug is a new coach. He's still considered new, second year. And I think starting with the other teams, the coaches that have been around for many seasons, or however many seasons, are sitting back saying, wait a minute, I got to beat the pants off this guy just to show my boss that I'm better than him. This second-year man can't come out of it anywhere and just embarrass the NFL and the rest of the coaches. It's a small club there, man, and all these guys know each other, and they're looking for parity at their level. So the coaches are where it's starting with our opponents, and that's why another reason why I roll that onto Doug's shoulders. We're in the final 20 minutes of the show. If you have a business, a company, and you want to reach Eagles fans, our reach is still strong. And if you want to, if you have a message for us consumers in Tampadelphia or wherever my voice may be carrying, because we are going around the world now, send me an email, paul@tampadelphia.com. We have some exciting plans and some very low rates, and really anything you have doesn't have to be professional. If you have had it done, that's fine. You can write your ad and I'll read it. You can write your ad and read it, record it, and send it to me, and I'll play that. You have options, and we together as a team may be able to help open the door a little bit more between the marketplace and your business. Whether you make something or provide a service, whether it's your business or you just work there, if it's on you, you can make a difference. So I invite you to get in touch and also, you know, take a look at Tampadelphia as an avenue for you to maybe get a little more bang for your buck. We're always interested in trying to make it a better game day for our people, and we're always interested in trying to give you a better bang for your dollar, too. So, we only live once, live well, live right, and enjoy often. So, that's part of what we want to do for you on the business side as well, too. As a business owner myself, and I have multiples, whatever I can do, please let me know. Let's talk. Get in touch. All right, we've got 15 minutes left in the show, but I'm going to end the show a little bit early. Michael is on the line. Michael, I'm going to open up, buddy. Michael, welcome to the show.
Hey, Paul, it's me. Mike.
Oh, how are you, Mike?
But I'll talk to you a little bit about the Eagles for a couple of minutes.
Sure.
So, how disappointing was that this weekend?
Well, it's not Wednesday yet, so we're still feeling it, Mike.
I just don't understand the blocking and the secondary. What was so good for us last year has become so much of an Achilles heel. This is a team that was built from the front to put pressure on the quarterback, but so much of what made them successful last year was how they defended in the backfield. I really think that we're feeling the loss of Rodney McLeod more than I expected to. You know,
I agree.
I think that he was able to forgive a lot of Jalen Mills' sins and make him more effective. But there were so many times where I just saw Jalen Mills getting twisted in coverage, being out of position, leading wide open receivers. We've given up more 20-plus yard pass plays in the first 3 weeks, or first 5 weeks of this season than I think we did through more than like 10, 12 games last year.
And the stats are not pretty, my friend.
And Carson Wentz is not going to be able to remain healthy if we can't keep him upright. You know, he was great last year because they were getting so many contributions. You know, I don't know why that line has regressed the way they have. I understand Jason Peters, a year older, still good. You know, Brooks is still an effective guard. Lane Johnson's still a great right tackle, but that interior of the line, particularly that left guard position where they've been rotating out Seumalo and Wisniewski, just has been horrible. On that first drive, I think Wisniewski was at fault for two of those sacks.
Yeah, there were like a big open gap on that line, and the defenders were just blowing through. And I mean, Carson Wentz had a horrible Sunday last Sunday, if you look at his stats for hits, hurries, and sacks. And
it's been like that the last 2 weeks. He's just been under constant pressure the entire game. And I know that a lot of it is teams are wanting to test the knee, making him run. You saw him do a lot more of that this game, and it coincided with them making that comeback. But they've got to, and it's going to be hard, but I would have said they need to some things to take some pressure off of him. Running the ball would help, but I don't think that they're going to be able to do that with now that we've lost Ajayi too. You know, I heard the rumors about the trade for LeSean McCoy. I'm not sure what that does financially. You know, the restructuring of Fletcher Cox's contract is a necessary evil to free up cap space, but they have a lot of guys coming up, especially chief among them Carson Wentz, that need to be re-signed. I think this ACL injury means that we've seen pretty much the last of Jay Ajayi in the Eagles uniform. I can't see them re-signing him. He's already been known to have knee issues coming off an ACL surgery. I can think that they might like Corey Clements and Wendell Smallwood to fill that Darren Sproles role, and then they'll roll the dice with somebody in the draft.
Josh Adams is supposed to be a suitable replacement at 6'2". He's supposed to be a load.
Yeah. We'll see. I mean, he ran effectively in the preseason, but they clearly were waiting on him. We'll see. You know, running backs can come from all over the place. Our last two big star running backs, if you will, were both third-round draft picks. So, you know, and Corey Clements was not a high pick, and you saw how effectively he ran late in the season last year and how good he was, even in this game. You know, Wendell Smallwood had the touchdown catch and the two-point conversion, but that sort of made up for an easy first down that he dropped earlier in the game. You're just not getting contributions from guys because Carson Wentz isn't getting an opportunity to go through his reads, and he's hurrying throws. So
I'm glad we still have Deuce Staley back there for some consistency, because I think Deuce is doing a lot to bring the running backs into an effective level, even when he doesn't have a whole lot to work with. But the schemes on the offensive line clearly are on the offensive line coach and also Doug Peterson. Everything rolls up to Doug. And, you know, I put it all back onto Doug because there's no place else left for it to go after him. So
they've got a short week. They've got the Giants coming in, which you would think is an imminently winnable game, even if it is the Giants.
Oh, no, it's not a gimme. Believe me.
But it's not. That's what I'm going to say. Not a gimme. I've seen them come in off of short weeks when you don't have a lot of time to put a fancy game plan in. And maybe this is a time to get back to, let's just do what worked for us. And
yeah. Keep it vanilla.
Keep it very vanilla and just go in and get a win. Because the last thing that you want to do is fall to 3-4 and lose a division game, or 2-4, lose a division game in this division, which, you know, despite the Eagles' early season struggles, is still there for the taking. You know, the Redskins looked atrocious. Dallas hasn't been any great shakes. We know what the Giants' problems are. You know, you have your 6 division games going and still to come. With two wins, if you are able to pull out a 5-1, 6-0 record in the division, which I think the Eagles are fully capable of doing, given the struggles of the other team, you know, that puts you even right now at 7-8 wins. You just have to be able to manufacture another 2 or 3 to get yourself in playoff position. I think they are fully capable of doing that. The season is far from over yet, There's just been some losses. Yeah. And we always knew this Vikings game was going to be very, very tough. I think that we expected as Eagles fans and people who pay attention to them a lot that they would win against Tampa and the Colts, and they win against the Titans, certainly when Carson Wentz came back. You know, and they've been in these games late. It's just a matter of seeing the Eagles finish a game, get those stops late that they were getting last year, be able to do some of the things that they were doing last year that made them so successful that have seemed to be failing them this year.
Good points. And how do we get better? What do we do?
I definitely think that you need to see them run more on some early downs and early in the game. You know, I think that just allowing teams to know that you're capable of doing it, and I know that Doug is a very aggressive player. He wants to pass. He wants to get up early and then run late. And that has been a methodology for winning. I'm not saying that you have to be a team that runs first and second down at every drive. But I think some more early first down runs will help with establishing the play action pass and giving Carson Wentz and the defense a little bit of something else to think about. You know, having a Darren Sproles when he comes back as another weapon out of the backfield will certainly help. But it boils down to how can they coach up the players right now? What adjustments can they make primarily in the secondary? In their coverage schemes, is it the zone and they need to play more man? Or are they playing too much man and they need to play more zone? You know, the pass rush, you know, Fletcher Cox already 3 sacks this season. I think he's doing fine. We saw Derek Barnett come up with a big sack last week or 2 weeks ago against the Colts. You know, that front seven is still pretty solid. My question is that those back four and the front five in the offensive line, what are we going to do? You know, is it time to see Mailata in there and see what he can do? Is he ready for prime time yet? Because I'll tell you what, if nothing else, that's one big athletic body that's going to be a pain.
Yes. Yes, and rugby is a tough sport.
Rugby is a tough sport. Now, if you've seen his highlights, that is one athletic. I've never seen anything that size, 360-plus pounds, move quite the way he does. So there's certainly the athletic potential. It's his ability to learn how to block in football, the footwork, the coordination. He may not be ready for prime time yet. Maybe possibly looking at rotating him in and getting some plays. But certainly that guard position on the interior of the line, they have to do something there because – if they can't keep Carson Wentz, yes, it's as simple as everything that we know, and he must have his ability to solve this problem is why Doug Peterson makes millions and is a Super Bowl winning coach, and I'm a guy calling into a radio show on Wednesday. I can identify the problem. I don't know the solution as well as he does. His job is can he identify the problem and also come up with the solution? That's what he gets paid for.
There you go. Well, Michael, I appreciate the input. Great thoughts. And I'm going to wind it down. We have another show coming up, and we're going to set the stage for that. And that is a soccer show with a couple of very, very, very good, knowledgeable hosts that have really helped put some light on a great game, European football. And I, you know what, if the Eagles continue this way, who knows, I may be more of a soccer fan than an NFL fan. So, Michael, I'm going to disengage our show and bring us down and out. And I want to thank all our listeners tonight. And keep your heads up. Don't quit on this. That's what the word die hard means. We're in it till the last bullet is fired. We don't run in the face of adversity. So let's rock up. Let's see what Doug does. Give him not just this week, but another week or two to see how he works around this. And with that, I'm going to bring us out and wish you all a good week.